It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do. Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Medow.
Kickoff live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. It's all presented by Andrew Mark. You can listen right here on Giants.com and, of course, on your Giants mobile app. Meadow, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Schmelk. How are we doing?
I'm actually a little tired. I'm a little cranky.
Tired? What?
I had to sit through a five-hour Yankee game last night in the freezing cold and watched them swing feebly at Darren O'Day 84-mile-an-hour fastballs. It was not a great night for Schmelk.
That Orioles bullpen's not bad, so you got to tip your cap.
Dude, Darren O'Day should not be getting out lefties.
Yankees offense has not been hitting, but that's a whole other topic.
We hope the Giants have a little bit more success on Sunday that, the Yankees had over the last couple of days against the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, a very tough game. The 49ers are a very good team, Lance. And we've talked about it all week long. Today's a big practice day for the Giants because we'll see how Akeem Nix reacts to doing that work on the side yesterday. We'll see if Martellus Bennett is one step closer to getting back on the field. These are all things that, frankly, we're not quite sure about just yet. But if the Giants want to beat the 49ers, those guys better get on the field.
Yeah, you want all of your weapons because that defense is as good as it gets when it comes to the NFL. They're good against the pass. They're good against the run. The numbers showed that last season. The numbers showed that this season. But here's the other thing to keep in mind with respect to Akeem Nix, and this hasn't gotten a lot of chatter throughout the week. You have to wonder, are the Giants weighing the plane factor here? I mean, this is a long cross-country trip, and when you have swelling in your knee, even if it's gone down over the last couple of weeks, does that play a role? And I'm no medical expert, but I know from experience, just previous injuries that other players have had to deal with, when you're up in the air, it does not help when it comes to a knee injury. So
that's fair.
You wonder if the Giants are at least weighing that and maybe saying, you know what, we'll bring him back the following week. We'll give him another week to recuperate and rest. I mean, the positive has been the Giants' receiving corps has stepped up. And Kevin Gilbride talked about this yesterday when he addressed the reporters. Clearly, they're a better team with Akeem Nix on the field.
Obviously.
I'm not going to argue that.
Right.
But you've got to look at the bright spots here. Ramsey's Barden stepped up. Reuben Randall has stepped up. And if you have Bennett at least somewhat healthy, that at least helps the cause if, indeed, Akeem Nix has to miss another game.
No, look, I agree with all that. The Giants, obviously, Lance, a better team with Akeem Nix on the field. But Barden stepped up. Randall stepped up. We know what Victor Cruz can do, obviously. Dominic Hixon has been a pretty consistent player for the Giants as well. So, obviously, the Giants have some weapons and they can have some success at wide receiver. We know that's true. But the 49ers are such a good defensive team. The best defensive team in football. Few people would argue that point. Their one weakness, if they have a weakness, I think is in the secondary. Carlos Rogers is not playing as well this year as he did last year. Golson's a great player at safety. Widner's a 50-50 tackler. Their other cornerback, Terrell Brown, not the best player in the world, does a lot of guessing. So I think if the Giants are going to win this game, they're going to have to do it through the air, and they're going to want to have all their weapons, including their big tight end that can stretch the field down the seam and their big play wide receiver that can get down the field.
The question is, if Bennett's not fully healthy, how effective will he be running his routes? I think that's a big question heading into this game, even if Bennett is active. He did hyperextend the knee. Tom Coughlin was optimistic that he would continue to get more work in today, so they are moving in the right direction with respect to Martellus Bennett. But a big factor in this game, I think for both sides, is the tight end spot. Vernon Davis is a matchup nightmare. The Giants do have the linebackers, I think, to match up well with him, but you could look at the Giants maybe taking advantage of that matchup, the tight end versus the linebackers. I mean, the linebackers for the Niners, they're very good against the run. It would be nice, though, to take them out for a ride down the field to see maybe what you could take advantage of.
Unfortunately, Patrick Willis is one of the best cover linebackers in the league. He is great at covering tight ends down the field, so that would be a big-time challenge for Martellus Bennett either way. Even if he can go, and if he goes, how effective is he going to be? And that's the point that Kevin Gilbride made to the media yesterday. It's great to get Akeem Nicks out there. And even if he's out there as a decoy, you know, there is some use to him being out there on the football field. But, you know, when push comes to shove and you get to the end of the game, you need Nicks out there healthy to make big plays to beat this team. And it's all nice and well and good to say we need him back this week. If he's not ready to make these types of plays to win the football game, what's the point?
Especially since they need Bennett in pass protection as well. I mean, the Niners, let's not forget, got to Eli Manning 6 times in that NFC Championship game. They're not a blitz-happy team,
no.
But they have enough weapons that even with a 3-4 matchup, they can still beat the guys one-on-one. So that, the Giants need to be aware of. That's why I think pass protection is going to be a big storyline as you watch this game on Sunday. And Martellus Bennett in the tight end spot is key in helping alleviate the pressure that Eli Manning is going to see. And remember, compared to the wide receiver depth chart, the depth is not there at the tight end spot. You know, after Martellus Bennett, there's Bear Pascoe, but remember, they use him as a fullback. Not that that should influence the Giants' decision. I'm in agreement with you, John. If the guys are not fully healthy, I don't see what you're going to get out of them. Yes, Hakeem Nicks can be a decoy. It's nice to throw him out there. It's nice for the corners to have to at least account for him. But you know what? If he can't run his routes 100% or he can't get any push off the line, that's not really helping the Giants move the chains at the end of the day.
No, it's not. And that's going to be a big issue for the Giants come Sunday afternoon. It really, that's surprising, by the way. First 4 o'clock game of the year. It's been a while.
It's been nice,
yeah,
though.
I know.
A 1 o'clock game last week, a 4 o'clock game this week. We've had, what, 3 primetime games in the first 4 games?
And then you have those 2 primetime games at the end of November, beginning of December. And otherwise, it's all 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock games on Sunday the rest of the way.
Until the flex schedule, of course.
Until the flex schedule, which obviously those games can get moved to nighttime if the networks decide to make that type of move. Anyway, a couple of things on this game, Lance, coming up on Sunday that people have made a big deal about this week that, frankly, I'm not buying. People are trying to play this, oh, Giants no respect card again. And it's just something that you hear a lot, and I don't blame head coach Tom Coughlin for doing it because it works. When this Giant team perceives themselves as underdogs, that's when they play their best football. And I would suspect, I can't guarantee if they're going to win or lose, but I can say this. I believe that the Giants will come out and, in my opinion, play their best football game front to end this week in San Francisco. I understand the injuries that we just talked about. That being said, historically, this group of players play their best in these type of games, and I would expect that to happen again this week. Now, they could do that and still lose by 10 points. That's how good the 49ers are if they bring their A-plus game. And, you know, a weird play here or there, a mistake, an interception, return for a touchdown, whatever. Ted Ginn, kick or punt return for a touchdown. Kyle Williams, same deal. They can still lose. But I believe that the Giants will come out and play a pretty solid football game here.
Oh, I think that passing the football, they will. The question is, how effective can that running game be? And can they pick up where they left off from last week's performance? They're not going to get 200 yards. I mean, that's stating the obvious here. But can they at least get half of that production? Or, you know, continue to get positive yardage throughout the game to keep the Niners' defense honest. They are going to need a presence on the ground, regardless of what the numbers show. The Niners only give up just over 80 yards per game. You are going to need Ahmad Bradshaw to be that workhorse again. You don't want Eli Manning to throw the ball 60 times. The more he drops back, the more he puts himself in a position where he's going to take those quarterback hits, and perhaps the Niners can rack up those sacks. So, yes, I think the Giants can have success against the Niners defense. It's not as if this Niners defense is impenetrable, where nobody can have any chance to move the chains against
them. Well, people have had trouble running the ball, though.
The Vikings were fairly successful, though. Adrian Peterson didn't have a monster game, but that took some pressure off of Christian Ponder.
True, and you have to be balanced, like you said. One of the things I want to bring up, you mentioned their ability to get to the quarterback. Talking to people around the building this week, how can I put this delicately? They've seen some potentially illegal things from the right side of that Niner defensive line with the two Smiths, Justin and Alden, where, you know, Justin Smith playing that 3-4 defensive end spot will come out and maybe get his hands in or around the offensive tackle, which allows Aldon Smith to get a free ride to the quarterback. And rarely do you see a defensive holding call on a defensive lineman. So, I mean, you see that from other teams, but from what I understand, talking to, you know, people that know the 49ers well and have watched a lot of tape on them, that's something the 49ers like to employ on that right side to try to get to the quarterback. And Lance, that giant left side of the offensive line is going to be tested. Kevin Booth and Will Beatty are going to have their hands full.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners, like I said, they don't necessarily rack up the sacks each and every game, but they're very good. They're a sound defense. They use their linebackers in multiple positions and multiple stances. They work both sides of the field, and they'll bring their safeties up in certain pressure packages. It's a very diverse group. And their experience. You know, this is not a group of rookies that the Niners are throwing out. And the other thing that I think has worked in their favor effectively over the last couple of seasons, this group has played together. The personnel is consistent. Yes, they changed the coaching staff, but the group that was under Mike Singletary is still around for the most part. They've invested in this nucleus, and that's why they play sound defensive football. But here's the other thing with respect to you throwing out maybe some of those illegal defensive schemes. You would think, if most of the offenses that have gone against them know their schemes and their tendencies, you know, walk up to the official on the sideline and say, hey, you know what, I noticed this defensive lineman has been pulling this, and take advantage of maybe the officials seeing a trend developing and then maybe getting a flag. You got to play the system at the end of the day.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, you can send your questions into hashtag Giants Chat. And let's go to our phones and say hello to Len down in Columbia, Maryland. Len, good morning, pal.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great,
well,
Len.
What you got?
Good, good, good. Well, paralysis through analysis, but here we go. If we can score 30 points, we win the game.
Agreed.
If we can limit the 49er possessions, I think we got a good chance to win the game. So I'll throw a number out there. 10, maybe 11. The 49ers score about 50% of the time they get the ball. So the more times they get the ball, the more times they're going to score. I think we need to limit those possessions. Field position is going to be important. We need a big day out of Weatherford. I think if the 49ers are doing 9, 10, 11 play drives, Smith's going to make a mistake. So we got to stop the big play. And, you know, I think if we can score 3 touchdowns, Tynes will get his 3 field goals. That's my 30 points. Red zone defense, you know, limit the number of touchdowns. If they're going to score 5 times or even 6 times, let's play tough red zone defense, make those kicks be field goals. And, yeah, I mean, I'm confident. I think we can go out there, and I hope all the guys are playing, but you know, the most important guy is playing. that's Eli.
Yeah,
and he can make a difference in this game. I think the Giants win this game. I think we can score 30 points on him.
Ooh, Len, and 30 points, yeah, against this 49er defense is a very, very tall order.
Well, I know, but I think we can score 30 points. I think we can do it. I think we're going to move the ball. And, you know, Tynes has got to make his kicks when we have opportunities. And we, you know, we got to get the ball in the end zone.
You know, Len, you mentioned red zone defense. How about red zone offense? The Giants have had to settle for a lot of field goals, deep in opposing team's territory this year. You can't do that against this 49er team. You got to cash in your opportunities. One great stat so far this year, I think this is the number. The 49ers have allowed only 7 drives to enter their red zone. So it's very hard to drive the length of the field on these guys. When you get there, you got to get 7.
Well, that's why the field position argument that Len just threw out is going to be key, because if you can start a drive around midfield or even the high 40s, you put yourself in a position where you don't have to go 80 to 90, and then maybe you can get in position to enter their red zone.
I think that's what we got to do. We got to, you know, if they're starting from their 10 and 15, if they get it out to the 40 and punt, that's a lot better from, you know, getting over that 50-yard line and kicking. Those 10 yards can make a big difference. And, well, I mean, everybody's got their analysis, and I know there's a little bias in my in my analysis, but I'm confident. I think we can do it. And let's go Giants. Hey,
all right,
guys,
Len.
Good talking to you.
All right, Len, appreciate it. Good call by Len. Yeah. Always confident. I like that.
And I kept track of his numbers because, as I mentioned, in the Panthers game earlier this season, he was right on. So I have taken notes, the 30 points, the 3 touchdowns, the 3 field goals, 10 to 12 possessions for the Niners. We will be comparing that once the game finishes. And another thing to note, just on a few things that Len threw out that wasn't necessarily touched on, the Giants, how they fare defensively against the Niners' rushing attack. Something that we haven't really spent a lot of time on. This is the number one rushing attack in the NFL. Just over 196 yards per game. And it's not one guy that's doing all the damage. It's Frank Gore. It's Kendall Hunter. We saw a little bit of Anthony Dixon the last game. Yes, it was a blowout. And the question is, will Brandon Jacobs be making his season debut this week?
And the quarterbacks can run. Alex Smith and Kaepernick combined for over 80 yards rushing last week. So you're going to see a little bit from those guys. Maybe a little Kaepernick option type of stuff. And look, Jacobs has been healthy. He's been a healthy scratch the last few weeks. So the way that the Niners are, are having success, why would you activate him for this game? You can still use his knowledge of the Giants to your advantage. Maybe you want to put him in there to see if he has some extra adrenaline. I can buy that. But I would not be surprised if Brandon Jacobs does not see the field this week.
Well, when we had Cam Inman of the Bay Area News Group on earlier this week, one of the things he touched on was it's a numbers game. That's why Brandon Jacobs hasn't gotten out on the field.
LaMichael James isn't dressed either. He's a second-round pick.
You'd rather dress players that can do multiple things for you, such as special teams and offense, like a Kyle Williams. Brandon Jacobs does not contribute in other areas of the game except the running. So if they already are set with the likes of Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter, and you don't want to dress 3 running backs, you'd rather have an extra offensive lineman or an extra special teamer, I can't blame the Niners for making that type of decision.
201-939-4513, Ed's in Maryland. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
How are you?
Doing good. A couple things I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Giants injuries, like Keith Rivers and Darren Hosey. Will they finally play because we need them? And another thing I want to talk about is the linebackers, especially Chase Blackburn. You know, I always watch the tape and tape the game and then come back. Pretty much for the whole season, I always see Chase always out of place and not being able to strike tackle a back or wide receiver. And my question is about Mark Herzig. He was close in a close battle with him in training camp, and he hasn't gotten any snaps in the season so far. So what's up with
Herzlitt? Well, I'll be honest with you, Ed. Talking to the coaches and hearing Coach Coughlin at his press conference the other day, he went out of his way to point out Chase Blackburn's leadership on defense and keeping everybody straight and together with so many other parts on the defense changing because of their injuries. So I think the Giants actually like his leadership a lot. I know he's been out of position on a few of those long outside runs by McCoy and Trent Richardson. I get that. But he had a huge interception in the end zone last week. You can't expect him to run with a wide receiver down the field like he got beat
Josh Gordon
by Josh Gordon, so you can't kill him for that. I don't think you're going to see Mark Herzlick in the next few games, maybe second half of the season. I think they're pretty happy with the job Chase is doing at Mike.
Yeah, I mean, Chase is good. It's just that he's just not the type of banger linebacker that we need, somebody that can plug in rush lanes and, hate guys. Like, Keith Rivers is that type of guy, but he hasn't played. And I thought Herzig was that kind of guy. And being that he was so close with him in camp, I think he would get at least like some snaps on defense and see what he could do. But besides that, I think we can win this game. I think we just got to play smart ball and not let the Niners crowd get into the game. So I think it's important for us to get up on them early, as Len said. Get up on them like 14-0, maybe 17-0, then force Alex Smith to have to pass the ball, and that's how we win the game.
All right, Ed, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. And, yeah, if you could get the Niners in a position where Alex Smith has to carry the offense and they really cannot rely on the ground, that's certainly a recipe for victory. But getting back to the linebacker argument that he pointed out, the other thing to keep in mind, they've been banged up at that position. So Blackburn essentially has been the anchor. It's been a movable game between Boley and Rivers. One's been hurt one week, the other's been hurt the other. So if you bring in a younger guy right now, maybe you can't hold the continuity together between the group so they're more comfortable, as you mentioned, from the leadership angle alone, putting aside the performance angle, that Blackburn can get everybody in the correct position, he knows the scheme, and they have a confidence factor in him more so than Herzlick. So I think that also has impacted them not necessarily moving the mic spot compared to some of the other positions.
And quite frankly, I'll disagree with that on one thing. Keith Rivers is not a much more physical player than Chase Blackburn. He's definitely faster. He's a better athlete. But I'm not sure if he's definitely not bigger than him physically. Chase is a bigger guy than Keith Rivers. That's just a fact. And I don't believe Rivers is that much more physical than Chase, if at all. So I'll disagree on that. But look, the Giants linebacker corps has actually done a pretty good job this year, especially in nickel with Boley and Jaquan Williams on the field together. And I think that's going to be a huge matchup. We're going to see a lot of Jaquan Williams on Vernon Davis this week, Lance. And we've seen Jaquan Williams cover these tight ends extremely effectively. He'll have to do it again this week because Vernon Davis might be the most physically gifted tight end in the league in terms of speed.
What Williams has working for him is that speed. I mean, he can match up with a tight end. He can match up with a running back. Remember, he did a good job against LeSean McCoy 2 years ago in the Philly game when they were able to really have him serve as the shadow to the running back, and he's going to essentially shadow Vernon Davis this week, and that's going to be a huge matchup. You look at the Niners' offense. Yes, they improved in the receiving core, but at the end of the day, Vernon Davis is the security blanket for Alex Smith. When he needs a big first down, whether it be in short yardage or long yardage, he's going to lean on his tight end. And if they can take Vernon Davis out of the game, and not necessarily shut him down, but contain him, prevent those big plays, that's going to be huge. You look back at the previous matchups last year, remember, Vernon Davis had that big play. It was Greg Jones on the field, but he made an impact in not just the regular season matchup, but the NFC Championship game as well. You can't let him run free.
201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, also on Twitter, at hashtag GiantsChat. And an interesting, kind of off-the-beaten-path type of tweet here, Lance. This is coming in from Raheem Semper. Would it be weird if he said RD needs to stall the just 49ers offense to keep the Niners defense off the field? I guess he's more afraid of the Niners defense forcing turnovers than their offense moving on the Giants defense. A little counterintuitive. And the problem with that, Raheem, is the 49ers want to win the time of possession. So if you keep Eli Manning and that explosive Giants offense off the field, I think you're kind of playing into the hands of the 49ers a little bit there.
Plus, the Niners love to run the football. And The best way to milk the clock and win that time of possession battle is to keep the ball on the ground and keep that clock moving. So that, I agree with you, would be playing right into the hands of the San Francisco 49ers. You want Eli Manning on the field. You're going to do more damage if he's on the field than watching from the sidelines.
Now, usually Pat Hanlon joins us every Friday at 10 o'clock. He's feeling under the weather. He has no voice, believe it or not, which I don't.
Yeah,
I
mean, that is a little
stunning. Pat has never been a loss for words, as all of us are well aware. And he said he'll try to come down if he's feeling better, but odds are he's not going to make it. He's feeling under the weather. We need Pat 100% in San Francisco. We can't have him languishing on game day. He provides much-needed energy and enthusiasm on that bench.
And he needs to be able to tweet away on game day to provide some entertainment for the fan base. But we need somebody else to pick up the chippiness meter, since Pat's not here this morning.
And, of course, you can chip in here, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. I mean, I can get angry for you if you want.
Well, you've already been a little ticked off, it seems, this
morning. Well, okay, well,
I could tell already the lack of sleep.
How about this? People complain all week about seeing more David Wilson, and I understand that. But this is the last game where you want to throw out a rookie running back that you don't think is quite ready to do all those little things like block, know the schemes, know the audibles, all that stuff. This is not the game to throw him out there and say, if he makes a mistake, so what? If he makes a mistake, Justin Smith is Eli Manning a foot deep in candlestick turf. You don't want that. So I think the Giants, if Andre Brown isn't back from that concussion, which it doesn't look like he's going to be, but we'll see today, I think you're going to see Ahmad Bradshaw with another 25 to 30 carry game, and you'll see David Wilson 4 to 6 carries, if that. I just don't think you're going to see a whole lot of him.
And there's nothing wrong with that breakdown, to be honest with you. I know we took a lot of calls after Andre Brown had that big game, and everybody wanted to just cut the sheet in half, 50-50. And I was more for still leaning on Ahmad Bradshaw, regardless of his tendency to do some dancing in the backfield. I think they need to lean on the experience in this game. Pass protection. We talked about it earlier on the show. It's a huge X factor in this contest. I know we're basing it on the numbers that the Niners produced last season, specifically in the NFC Championship game, but you're right. If David Wilson needs to prevent a linebacker or a defensive lineman from getting to Eli Manning, I don't know how confident that coaching staff would feel. Ahmad Bradshaw, you feel a lot better serving as that second layer of protection over David Wilson. Wilson's going to get touches, and there's nothing wrong with him providing a change of pace factor, because remember, the likes of Percy Harvin have flustered the Niners at times this season. So if you can get that versatile, speedy guy to maybe run a play or two, perhaps you can move the chains, open up the field for Manning and company. But at the end of the day, Ahmad Bradshaw is the way to go. That's the script to follow this week.
I want to jump to the other side of the field, too. A lot of people all this week have complained about the Giants pass rush. They can't get any sacks, and that's all churn. We'll talk about that part in a second. But this week, to me, Lance, my bigger worry is the way LeSean McCoy and Trent Richardson were running all over the place the last 2 weeks. You come into this game and you can't stop Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter, you got problems. That's what the Niners want to do. They want to run the football. And if you can't stop it, they'll pound it and pound it and pound it. They ran for 300 yards last week against the Buffalo Bills. And they threw for 300, by the way. First time ever happened in NFL history. But they will run the ball until the cows come home, if you let them. And that's what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, that's their money game, and it would not be surprising if they try to implement that game plan this week, especially keep in mind the Giants have struggled against the run, as you just touched on. Richardson and McCoy have had some big games. DeMarco Murray, let's not forget, week one, was very productive. There's been a track record.
You got to stop the run here, and, you know, Chris Canty's not back till next week. He might help in that department and help with the pass rush. We'll see.
And even if you force Alex Smith to throw the ball more than the Niners planned, that's not necessarily winning the battle, because remember, Smith, I think, has matured in that department this season.
He's gotten a little better, sure.
And they could throw in Kaepernick, and Kaepernick has a stronger arm than Alex Smith. Don't be surprised if they go for a little trickery. They've given a taste of that over the last couple of weeks.
You think Brandon Jacobs dresses?
I would say no. And this is based on Harbaugh's comments. They want to work him along slowly. And I don't know if you noticed that Harbaugh also had touched on the fact that they are not convinced that Jacobs is 100% yet. So I think as a result, they want to rest him up for the stretch run where they think they're going to play tougher games to lock down a playoff spot. So as a result, don't be surprised if Brandon Jacobs is not out there this week. I think they're comfortable with the package between Kendall Hunter and Frank Gore. It's worked effectively over the first couple of weeks. I don't see them really going on a different route this year.
As I mentioned, folks, Pat Hanlon usually joins us on Fridays under the weather, doesn't have his voice, so he's not going to be able to. But our fearless leader, Don Sperling's here. Do you want to join us, Don?
Sure.
Oh, here we go. Mic him up. Here we go.
See, just like the
Giants. Slide over here. Give Donnie some room.
Just like the Giants' depth chart, here we have a very deep chart as well.
We go from one VP to another, which is what we always want to do on this show. Don, I know you're excited about
this morning,
game,
fellas.
Right?
How are you doing, Don?
Now,
doing great.
Significance of this series to you as a Giants fan. You go back a long time watching these Giant teams. Giants 49ers is always a lot of fun for you, right?
It's an amazing rivalry. It's funny because if you look at the Giants in division, people automatically assume that the Cowboys, the Redskins, and the Eagles, probably those have some of the greatest rivalries. But ironically, the Giants always consider the 49ers an extra opponent inside the even though they were in the same conference, but in the division, because the games and the playoffs games that they played against these teams are probably the most legendary games in Giant history.
Which is your favorite?
Easily the Matt Barr game.
Craig fumble. Matt Barr field goal?
Yeah, I mean, that game was, there was so much drama to that game. The Jim Burt now playing for the so-called enemy on the other side. That game had so much drama. It was played so tough. It was such a reflection of Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick and the offense. Jeff Hostetler toughing it out, getting knocked down by Burt, which the Giants had claimed was a dirty hit, going to the sideline, probably didn't know if he was going to come back or not, and then the Giant defense all huddling together and saying, okay, if they got our guy, let's go get their guy. And ultimately, Leonard Marshall taking out Joe Montana with a very clean hit, but and that game just had all the drama you want.
And, of course, Giants 49ers, Giants Chronicles is coming your way this week, correct?
Absolutely. This weekend, 9:30 a.m. on MSG Network, the Giants 49ers rivalry. A half hour of some of the best footage, sound, you know, courtesy of the NFL Films, CBS, everybody who ever shot the Giants. Some of the greatest footage you'll ever see is on Giants Chronicles this Sunday.
Well, we look forward to it, Don. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, boys.
Yes,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Thanks for letting me in. And
absolutely.
And we're looking forward to Sunday. Should be another good one.
Should be, no doubt about it. That's Don Sperling, our fearless leader, senior VP.
And you know what? Even though the Niners, for a period of time, were not as competitive as the Giants had been, now all of a sudden you could say the rivalry has picked up for the most part, given the battles specifically last season.
You know, it's funny. I just realized something. He sounds a lot like that Kaiser from Yonkers that calls up sometimes. A little bit. Sounds kind of like him. It's weird. I don't know. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. You got to do a little cross promotion
absolutely.
Sometimes. And they've been working
perfect
hard
timing.
On that Niner Giants Chronicles. Our guys in the back cutting that together. And it really actually is a good rivalry. To me, what makes this really unique, Lance, is the roles have switched, in my opinion. In the past, the Giants were that defensive, grind it out, run the football, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of team. Now, really the entire NFC West, but the 49ers specifically, are more of that defensive-oriented team that the Giants used to be in 1990. And while Joe Montana aired it out to Jerry Rice, now you have Eli Manning airing it out to Victor Cruz and Akeem Nix. The roles have swapped.
No, and I think that's a good comparison in terms of the styles of the two teams. I think the Giants don't want to get back to that defensive style, if you ask them. And this is going to be a game where they're going to aim to do it. I don't know if this is going to be that breakout game where the sacks all of a sudden start to pile up, because something also that we haven't touched on, Niners offensive line is not too bad. That's why they have the number one rushing attack.
Yeah, you know, we should have talked about that a little bit more, and I think that's been shortchanged all week and all the talk about these other spots, Lance. You make an excellent point. Joe Staley is a great left tackle. He's probably the best offensive lineman. Anthony Davis on the right side, the young man out of Rutgers who turns 23, I believe, next week. Still a young guy. He's a huge, huge individual. He's getting a lot better. He's playing great football on the right side. Then you have Iapati at left guard. He's really strong. He gets your hands on you. He's going to push you around. So they have a lot of guys on that offensive line that can do a lot of different things. And they're all big and strong, which is why they have that power run game. But in addition to the power run game now this year, Lance, they're using that offensive line to pull a lot more, to trap a lot more. They're getting a lot more action and motion around the edges off tackle. So you're seeing different types of runs, and they've had a lot of success running outside, especially recently.
And they're creative because the schemes that they run for Frank Gore is not the same formation that they use for Kendall Hunter.
A lot of different formations.
And that's how you catch a defense off guard. And this was also something that Perry Fuel touched on. So, you know, this is not necessarily the week that all of a sudden you want to revamp the playbook and think you could take your fair share of chances. Because the minute you do that, boom, the Niners hit a big run. Something that the Giants defense can't afford to have happen.
And you're allowed to be that creative with so many formations when you have not only one tight end, but let's not forget Delanie Walker, their second tight end, who plays with Vernon Davis, isn't quite the athlete Vernon Davis is. Not many are, but he's able to get down the field, catch the ball, block a little bit, and he can be dangerous down the seam and in that intermediate area. So when those guys are interchangeable, both of them can line up anywhere, on the line, in the backfield, wide. They're all over the place. You can do a lot of different things.
Listen, Delanie Walker on another team could very well be a starting tight
end. Oh, no,
he
is. No question about it.
He definitely has talent. He has versatility. And, you know, this is a mimic league, as I've thrown out time and time again. What the Patriots have done has now become widespread, where a lot of other teams like to run two tight ends out there and get creative on offense. And that's why you see everyone across the league in both conferences implement that type of game plan.
And you mentioned the variety of formations and plays. They run a lot of those 6 and 7 offensive lineman packages. They do a lot of max protect for Alex Smith to try to keep things simple for him. Only send 2 or 3 guys into routes. You keep a lot of guys in the block. You roll them out and only has to read one side of the field. These are the type of things that the 49ers are doing to continue their success using their brand of football. And I can't believe I haven't brought this stat up yet today. I'm sure it's been beaten to death on the show all week. Plus 33 in turnover ratio since the start of 2011. They don't turn the ball over. They're plus 5 this year. Their only loss against the Vikings came when they turned it over 3 times. Last year, their loss in the Giants to the playoffs came when they were -2 and turned it over twice on the muff punt and on the fumble on the subsequent punt by Kyle Williams. So, folks, your Giants are going to have to do something here to make the 49ers turn the football over. And it starts with the defensive line, Lance. If you can't get pressure on Alex Smith and make him make some mistakes, and I'm not going to put the onus on the secondary. There's too many injuries there. That's not fair to those guys. I will put the onus on the defensive line, and we said we were going to talk about it. They got to disrupt Alex Smith and make him uncomfortable. Just like Romo, just like Vic, even Whedon to a certain extent, they can move around in the pocket. Alex Smith is an athlete. He can run it. We mentioned last week him and Kaepernick combined for 80 yards rushing. I think Smith had 50 of those. You got to do a good job not only rushing the passer but containing him, something the Giants have not been able to do.
It's funny, on the Friday shows, you always close out by asking me what do I see as the key to the game, and I was really going to lay that out. I think the difference maker this Sunday will be if the Giants can force turnovers.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they need five, but one could even make the difference in getting an additional
100%.
Score.
Last year, the 49ers, I forget the exact date, but they turned the ball over the fewest times in NFL history since like the 50s or the 60s, something crazy like that. So this team protects the football. You got to force them into mistakes.
Alex Smith is a very good decision maker. If you fluster him, perhaps he can get caught into precarious situations. The perfect example last week's game. Brandon Whedon, when he throws that interception, he had a defender in his face. He was pressured. That's why he threw wide, and all of a sudden Stevie Brown was in a position. Same thing with the Chase Blackburn interception and the special teams fumble. And those were game-changing plays because let's not forget, the Giants were down 14-0 last week. The way they got back into it right before the end of the first half, it was one turnover after another, and boom, they capitalized that into points.
And remember this as well, Lance. Last week, the 49ers started to throw the ball downfield a little bit. Five passes of 20-plus yards. Maybe they might be getting a little, you know, overexcited. They might think, wow, we brought in these guys in the offseason. Randy Moss, Mario Manningham. We intended to go down the field more. It didn't work the first 4 weeks. But last week it started to click. So maybe Alex Smith comes out this week and says, hey, we're going to try to throw the ball downfield now. We're going to try to look down the field and make some big plays on some five-step drops, on some seven-step drops, and we're going to trust the offensive line to block. We're going to trust Alex Smith to make the right decision. Maybe the Giants can take advantage of that.
I buy that argument, but I think the game plan last week was more of how the game played out, and they had a comfortable lead on the Bills, and I could see the Niners maybe saying to themselves, let's try to test some schemes out that we haven't had an opportunity to do a little bit earlier on in the season. So don't necessarily go by what they did against the Bills. And the Bills' defense is banged up, and they have a lot of issues all across the board. The Giants are in much better shape than the Bills' defense is, despite the Giants' struggles. So I don't know necessarily if that's going to be a trend that they're going to want to do. I think they're going to take their chances if it presents itself. But at the end of the day, they're going to ride that running game. And when they get into situations where Alex Smith can make plays, they'll lean on him. But the numbers show the Giants have struggled against the run. And San Francisco has to be licking its chops, saying, you know what, this is going to be a game where we're going to work Frank Gore, we'll move in Kendall Hunter, we'll see what the defense gives us, and then we'll give Alex Smith the green light. I don't know if they're going to get that creative this week.
201-939-4513, call us. The Giants are playing the 49ers on Sunday.
It's a rematch of the NFC Championship game.
Lance and I had full phones for an hour and 15 minutes when they played the Browns last Friday. What's going on here? Let's get on the lines. 201.
Maybe everybody watched the Yankee game like you last night.
Honestly, that might be it. I think people right now are really wrapped up in the Yankee playoffs, and that happens sometimes. You turn on talk radio this morning, no one's talking about Giants 49ers. They're talking about the Yankee game.
But believe it or not, the Jets game, and I'm not bringing up the Jets just to rub Giants fans the wrong way, but they had a higher rating that Monday night game than the baseball. So people are still into football, even though it's colliding with the MLB postseason. At least that's what the television numbers show.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But you know what? There is a split focus at this point. And now with this dopey game today at 5 o'clock, I'm going to have to try to finagle some stuff right around here.
Well, you're going to have to multitask. We have confidence in you to do that.
How am I going to multitask?
Well, you look at the Niners playbook and the Giants playbook. You look up at the televisions. Well, you don't have a television in your office, actually. That makes it even that much
more
complicated.
No, see, here, no.
Here we go.
This is what makes it more complicated.
I thought you were bringing up the big bills. Oh, you got a ticket. Well, you didn't explain that to me.
that changes
things tremendously. So this is going to be a half a day for you.
No,
right?
No,
early
no.
Bell schedule? Is that what this is today?
I will finish everything I have to do.
Okay.
I will get all my work done. I'm already kind of ahead of schedule here. Once I get you out of here, can't come soon enough.
That opens things up.
Of course it does.
Once I get out of here.
And we'll see if we can figure out how to finish everything up and at least get there for the last 7 days. If they miss an inning or two to get everything done, so be it. but Friday traffic into the city is not going to be good. 201-939-4513. I asked. The callers deliver. I like that. James in Virginia. What's up, James?
Hey, morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up, James?
I just want to say, hey, I'm doing what I do. First things first, I want to say, as always, y'all produce and always have a bomb show. I always like listening to you.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
James. You know, appreciate that.
Anita and Paul, they're okay, but it's something about Lance and John. It doesn't get any better.
James, well, honestly, mostly it's because we genuinely don't like each other.
We rub each other the
funny thing
way.
About it is that love-hate relationship, and that's shown, it produces a lot better.
Appreciate it, James. Thank you.
Hey, I really want to just say that I'm realizing now that nothing is guaranteed in this season because it's – case in point, last night everyone swore up and down that the Steelers was going to run the Titans out the building.
Yep.
And you see what happens. So right now, everyone just – I'm telling you, a lot of people really feel that the Giants have no chance in this game. But they had no chance in the playoffs either. And you see what happened there. So truly, I just really feel that, like I said, if they get that running game going, which really surprised me, get the running game going, actually – give Eli more time and keep his jersey clean because that playoff game, he showed more, you know what, cojones, and just overall toughness that he took with each and every hit. And just really, really, first thing I'm praying that this line is solidified and better than it is. Get more pressure because I don't know why, but it was a couple of times that our defensive line looked pretty soft against the Browns line, and I was like, wow, are they soft, or is our line, defensive line, just really looking that way? But overall, I know that we're going to win. It's going to be an awesome game, and as always, Big Blue for life.
All right, James, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much.
Hey, look, and he's right. Balance is key, because if you turn the Giants, the 49ers defense, rather, and you say to them, you only have to defend the pass here, you're not going to do well against them. If Eli has to throw the ball 50 times like he did in that playoff game last year, I think he had less than 50 attempts, but he had 50 dropbacks in the game. You're going to have trouble. They're going to get to him. They're going to knock him around, and nothing good is going to come out of that.
Yeah, plus, once a play breaks down, then you give the Niners even more of an opportunity to get to your quarterback.
Right.
So you don't want to be put in a position like that. And James touched on that he felt that maybe the Giants' defensive line was a bit soft against the Browns. I think that's also a reflection of the style running back that Trent Richardson is, John.
He's tough.
He put together some performance.
And he's physical.
And Frank Gore is physical, but not near what Trent Richardson brings
to the
table.
Well, Trent Richardson is like, if you have the guy create the carving of the statue of what a running back's supposed to be, it's Trent Richardson or Adrian Peterson, both big guys with power and speed. And Gore doesn't quite have that size, but he is still a top back.
What blew me away about his performance was the fact that he could have two defenders meet him, and then he could take those two defenders with him for an additional 5 yards.
No question.
That's what was extremely impressive about Trent Richardson.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513.
Wow.
And I'm very surprised by our very special guest. He's a little under the weather. That's okay. He's here, though. He's stepping his game up. Pat, you're going to want to flip that around so the mic can get on. There you go. There you go.
Making strides.
We have to micromanage here sometimes. Yeah. Mr. Hamlin, good morning. How are you?
What the hell are you guys talking about Trent Richardson for? We got we got Frank Gore this week.
That's true. A caller called up and said that the Giant defensive line looked soft last week.
Soft.
And we disagreed, and we just said we think Trent Richardson's an excellent running back. He's a big, powerful guy, and he's going to break some tackles sometimes.
What are you trying to do here with me? You trying to choke me to death with this thing?
You want me to switch? You want to take my
headset?
No,
why don't you just move? Can you move that?
It's taped down here. You know, it doesn't make things so easy.
Well, as you moved it, the tape's not very strong.
we try to accommodate you any way we can.
All right, Pat. Not a traditional NFC East rival, but obviously a lot of history between these two teams. Two games last year. You can go back so many big games in the past. San Francisco, a fun place to go and play grass field, old school ballpark.
It's a fun place to go win a football game.
Very true.
Is what it is. And for those who've forgotten, we almost won two games there last year.
True.
We were knocking on the door in the regular season game and had the ball knocked down. Where were we? At the 10-yard line?
Justin Smith with a very good play, correct.
And then when the money was on the line, we went out and won a game and took it from them. Nobody gave us anything. So,
no one said that.
It's a great place. great place to go play. A lot of character in that ballpark.
That's a good way to put it.
A lot of characters in that ballpark, and we're looking forward to it. Hopefully we'll have some people back that haven't played in a few weeks, and then and that'll make it even more interesting.
Well, we know how much you enjoy talking about injuries, so that's why we're so happy you stopped by. Well, you alluded to the fact.
This is like Tom Coughlin's post-practice press conference every day. It's just all it is going down the injury list.
Well, but this time you get to answer the questions. How fortunate.
Well, you know
are.
What? Now I know why he complains to me. That's all you people want to talk about. Go ahead. Ask me.
Oh, the only two guys are asking about.
Only two.
That's,
go ahead.
That's probably a lot.
That's off the show progresses. That's,
those are the first two names off the top of your pate there.
Nixon Bennett are the two guys. Obviously, they worked yesterday. I guess the key today is to see how they react, how their knees look, and feet for Nix, and how they can how much they can do today, huh?
Yeah. And, you know, Nix is – I mean, it takes an awful lot to keep him out of a game, and the combination of the foot and the knee the last couple weeks have forced him down, and which is probably the best thing that could have happened to him. And Bennett is a tough guy. How about the – you know, a lot of guys would not have gone back into that game last week after he hyperextended his knee.
And on that replay, you were shocked he didn't tear something.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Pat, it was scary.
Yeah, I know. That's what people have said. So he's a tough guy. You know, he's a tough guy too. And but they both practiced. Hakeem did individual drills yesterday just to see how it felt. 2 days ago, he was out running on the side, and I thought he looked fantastic.
I heard the same thing.
He was not favoring either leg. You know, he's got the knee on one leg and he's got the foot on the other leg. So we'll see. Hopefully he'll get through practice today and he'll be a factor on Sunday. And then with Bennett, my sense with him is that everything he's done this week is pointing towards being able to play on Sunday. So hopefully that's going to work out for us because he has provided a wonderful threat in the middle of the field. And the last couple years, we've been fortunate to have those kinds of threats in the middle of the field, except this one has more speed than any of the tight ends that we've had recently. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
You know, you wonder with respect to Nix's injury, and I know he has hinted at this, whether he has to now train himself differently in terms of his style of running to prevent from overcompensating for the foot injury. That maybe that led to the knee injury.
No. Let's go back. There was never any people misunderstood me. The media misunderstood what I said when it comes to this whole overcompensation issue. What I said when we first announced that he also had a knee injury, I said that he now has a knee in addition to the foot. And people somehow construed that as he has a knee from compensating for the foot. And that was never the case. I think we've talked about this before, where he injured the knee was in that game against Tampa when the guy stepped on his ankle and he went and he pounded his knee against the turf. That is where I think he hurt it, although I think he would claim that he actually hurt it the play or two before that. So, no, it was not an issue of him. It was not a case of him compensating for the foot. But, again, knowing him and what a competitor he is and how tough he is, I think if it had been one or the other, if it had been just the foot, he would have kept doing what we saw him do the first couple weeks of the season, which is he would have dragged himself through a practice each week, and then he would have played in the game. And it's incredible how productive he was able to be given those circumstances. Or if it had just been the knee, I think he probably would have done the same thing. He would have dragged himself through a practice and played. But the combination of the two made even a guy like him who plays through everything, made even a guy like him realize that I can't do what I normally do. So, again, at the end of the day, in the long run, the best thing might have been for him to have both those issues at the same time, so that he can rest and the foot heals better and the knee heals up.
Pat, the Giants' offensive line and running backs have been waiting for a breakout game for a while. They got it last week against Cleveland. And now you can't have a tougher and better test to see if you can repeat it against a defense like the 49ers that prides themselves on being probably the most physical team in the league.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, the challenge. And we did, I think we rushed for, you know, we rushed for like,
nearly 250.
Well, last year in the two games,
okay,
you know, we rushed just enough to keep them honest. You know, I think in the championship game we had like 85 or 90 yards rushing. In the regular season game, I think we had a little less than that. But yeah, listen, we've been waiting for that game for a long, long time. I mean, when you think about how effective we were running the ball, you know, in 07, 08, 09, and then to have the last couple seasons where it's been a real issue for us, I mean, I think it was a great thing for our line to remind themselves that we can do it, and it was a great thing for Ahmad to remind himself that he can do it, and I think that that is a confidence boost to those guys. And frankly, I don't think they ever lost confidence. They just could never. They were frustrated and couldn't figure out why we couldn't get it going. But San Francisco's defense is incredible. It's probably the best defense in the league. And but we've got to be able to. If we're going to win the game, we've got to be able to run the ball. And that's what Minnesota didn't rush for an incredible amount of yardage, but they rushed just enough to keep San Francisco, you know, on their heels.
Assuming A.J. Brown's not going to be able to come back from that concussion this week, he hasn't passed his protocols yet. Are the Giants comfortable using Ahmad Bradshaw just in the short term for a game or two or three and using him 25 times a game to touches if you have to?
You heard what Kevin Gilbride said yesterday. If at the end of the game, Ahmad Bradshaw on Sunday has 30 carries, there's the happiest guy in the ballpark is going to be Ahmad Bradshaw. He relishes the workload. He's as healthy right now as he's been in years. And he's one of the, you know, listen, he's a guy that he's like every other running back. You know, you're not going to talk to a running back who says, oh, yeah, let me run it a few times and then put somebody else in and let them. They all want to get into a rhythm. They all want to get into a flow. That's what happened with him last week. And that's something that he hasn't been able to do since, you know, the last few years, because we've always had a great option to go to in Brandon Jacobs, and before that, Brandon Jacobs and Derek Ward. And so he's never been the guy where you turned around and gave it to him 30 times. Because A.J. Brown went out last week, we were forced into that situation. And, you know, if we're going to be effective on Sunday, you're probably going to see something similar, because as we've discussed ad nauseum, you know, David Wilson is growing, he's developing, but he's not yet at the point where you can give him the full plate. So his package grows by the week, and it's going to grow more this week, and so we'll see. But Ahmad Bradshaw would be thrilled if he carried the ball 30 times on Sunday, and that would be, if he carries the ball 30 times on Sunday, that is a huge indicator of how successful we are offensively.
Yeah, that would mean that the Giants are milking the clock and winning the time of possession battle. And also the other
thing. Also cramming it down their throat.
That helps too.
That's true. And also Bradshaw helps with respect to pass protection in terms of his experience versus David Wilson.
Right. There's no, that you can't, and again, this goes back to the beginning of training camp when the quarterback told David Wilson, hey kid, you're not going to get on the field until you learn how to pass protect. And there's not a better pass protector from the running back position in the league than Ahmad Bradshaw.
And we had David Wilson on the radio show last week, by the way. He said when he first got here, and they're talking about audibles and blitz schemes and protections, he said, I had no idea what they were talking about.
Right.
But he said now it sounds like English. He gets it. He understands it all, and he's getting better and better.
He's developing. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, Ruben Randall's developing too now, isn't he?
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it?
Right, like we talk about. That's what happens with rookies. They develop.
You give them time, and they slowly progress. This is something that John brought up earlier in the show.
I have to. I'm sure
well,
this
because
is.
Because I like the interaction between the two of you, sure, and I sit back and enjoy the show.
I'm sure this is going to be one of the most insightful comments we've had.
No, well, Tom Coughlin did touch on this during his press conference yesterday.
Also, you're taking shots at the coach's mouth.
Well, no, he's not necessarily. He's just using coaches' statements as an example.
Oh, you're making fun of the coach. No.
Yeah, that pretty much is it. This, you know, the Giants versus the rest of the world type of philosophy. And they took that on last season, and they seem to be bringing that with them this season. Do you feel as if the players buy into that still?
Absolutely. In fact, when I walk in here, I feel like it's me against the rest of the world with you guys.
Or at least the two guys in here. Well, the point I did make, though, is that if I'm the coach, I do make that point, because that's when this Giants team, to me, Pat, plays their best football. And if history is any judge, I think the Giants will probably play their best football game of the year this week.
Well,
when they play good teams on the road, they play well.
If we're going to have a chance to win, we're going to have to play our best game of the year. But listen, when you go on the road, it truly is you against the world. You know, and as the coach has talked about, when you're standing on that Giant sideline in Candlestick Park or in the Link, or in FedEx Field, or down at Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Jerry's World works.
That's
fair enough.
You are. It's just the only people that you can count on are those people that are standing right beside you. And I think most teams thrive on that. We happen to thrive and produce better than anybody else under those circumstances, as recent history has demonstrated.
Speaking of which, you missed a very big highlight of the show earlier on when we thought you were under the weather. Our very own Don Sperling came by and gave us like 5 minutes on Giants 49ers rivalry.
What?
Yeah, that's right.
Sperling?
Yeah.
You put a microphone in front of Sperling? And he was gone by the time I got here?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I was wondering why this headset doesn't work. You guys are crackling in my ear on this headset.
Yeah, well, blame Don. That's fair. Yeah.
That's good.
Lance, you got anything else for Mr. Hammond?
No, I wanted to hit him where maybe he would get at you a little bit. It didn't work necessarily as I would have liked, but, we'll take it for what it is.
Maybe next week.
Pat, we appreciate it as always.
Maybe I really am under the weather.
Yeah, thank you for dropping
by. Yes,
Pat.
My
pleasure.
Appreciate
you didn't think a little cold was going to keep me away, did you?
No, of course not. You're
he a was
guy.
A bit skeptical,
We got a big game this week.
Thank you, Pat.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Man, have fun.
Giants Senior Vice President of Communications, Pat Hamill, does a great job. You can check him out on a couple segments of Giants Online, which comes your way during Giants Opening Drive Live on Sunday morning on MSG. Make sure you check it out. All right, Lance, we got a couple more calls. Let's get them in, and we'll do our picks before we say goodbye. Bruno in Atlanta. What's up, Bruno?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, multi-time caller. Love what you guys do.
Thanks, bud.
Tying into the last question a few minutes ago about the defensive line.
Yeah.
Obviously, Chris Canty, to me, he's one of the most underrated defensive tackles in the NFL. The running game is going to be the first thing we have to stop, which we say every week, but we've had kind of a hard time. I have full faith in our coaching staff and Jerry Reese for bringing in the people he's brought in. How do you think Marcus Kuhn has developed? And I didn't catch if Rocky Bernard is going to be back, but what do you think the D-tackles are going to be able to do this weekend? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Well, Marcus Kuhn has had certainly his ups and downs as a rookie, Will, but he did have a decent performance in the last game. He had a key deflection, and he's been playing more snaps than Marvin Austin, because Marvin Austin, I think, has a long ways to go.
I think Perry Field
touched on that.
I agree. I think Austin has more upside, but I think Kuhn is more ready to contribute now and not make big mistakes, big errors, and be solid. And for a draft pick that's that late in the draft to be able to contribute in year number one, I think says something.
Absolutely. And Rocky Bernard should be in the mix this week. I know he's making progress, but once again, it's all about can you get through practice today?
And again, you're going to need him to step up and do well against a very powerful Giants, San Francisco Giants, San Francisco 49ers, finally, got that right, running game.
Before we get to the picks, and you can still chime in on the phones if you want in the few remaining moments, 201-939-4513. I just want to get back to this.
I don't like this sideways grin on your face.
The dynamic between you and Pat. See, I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus, but I wanted to see if we could get something out of him when we get to a subject.
No, it was fine. But no,
here's what I wanted to throw in.
Honestly, I don't even know where you're going with it, to be honest.
Well, that was the best thing I did. I tried to play it up where it was very obscure at first, and then we brought it to the table.
Big build up, a little bit of a letdown on the delivery.
Okay, and that's fair. I will take the criticism like a true man. But the reason I did throw it out, and I buy that it's worked in the past, I just felt, you know, you win a Super Bowl, are the players still feeling that type of pressure coming off a successful end of the year? That's the only reason why I'm questioning it. Yes, they've been great on the road, but do you maybe need to now send a new message? Do you need to dig deeper to get more out of it?
Well, we'll find out after this week, won't we?
And that's the reason why I raised it as perhaps a question to monitor.
And by the way, Pat mentioned Martellus Bennett, a very tough guy, and he's probably going to play Sunday. At least that's what it looks like right now. I don't know if you saw his tweet from the 10th of October. If you want to know what Martellus Bennett is made of, this is it. He's 50% African-American unicorn, 10% amazing, 10% better than you, 20% sexy, 5% crazy, which frankly I think is a little low. That might have to be a little higher.
Yeah.
And then he's 5% Trill.
Trill, wow.
There you go.
A very interesting vocabulary that Martellus Bennett had. I thought you were going to allude to another tweet that he sent out recently, but we'll keep it PG-13.
Yes, please. Come on, Beto.
Yes, I know. It just that was an entertaining.
Storming back
but
in
that,
here
that was an entertaining you. Tweet. I did enjoy that as well.
All right, 201-939-4513. Let's take a quick look at our picks before we say goodbye here. On the season, Lance has inched his way back over to 500 at 12-11. My 5-1 week last week has gotten me up to 10-14. So still very poor. But I'm 2.5 games behind Lance. I'm making up some ground.
Can I ask you a question? Is it hard to raise your hands these days from all the times you've been patting yourself on the back? Has the lactic acid been building up so much?
I just killed myself.
I mean, I see some struggle there with the raising the hand.
I just thought I'm a brutal 10-14. You're the one that's all excited at being 12-11 because you're over 500.
I'll let you enjoy the 5-1
week.
Like
your picks career.
We'll see if you can build off of that.
Well, obviously,
let's see what marvelous picks you've made.
We picked the NFC East games, a wild card, a upset special, and then we go Monday night as well. So. First, let's start with the division games. Ravens-Cowboys. Cowboys coming off a just brutal loss to the Chicago Bears. Ravens coming off a... What'd they do last week again? They lost, right, in a close game? If I'm not mistaken, the Ravens last week?
Boy, I'm drawing blanks. The last game I remember
is that
Cleveland-Browns
game. The Ravens played a close
game
last week, and then they lost, correct?
They beat the Browns. That was the Thursday game.
That was the Thursday
game.
Hold on,
I'm bringing it up here. I'm drawing blanks.
Last week they played somebody good.
The
and
Ravens, they beat the Chiefs 9-6.
Oh,
it was
that's
a
right.
very low-scoring game.
A close game against the Chiefs, and they won that game. So that was a bit of a letdown game, maybe looking ahead to the Cowboys this week. I think this is going to be a very close game. It can go either way, but I'll go with the team coming off the bye. I'll pick Dallas.
Well, the fact that the Cowboys have had 2 weeks to prepare for Baltimore, I think, gives them an edge in that department. I think Dallas is going to look to make a statement. And the big question surrounding the Cowboys, can they work out those communication issues? They've got the talent in the receiving corps. But can Romo and Dez Bryant be on the same page? I think that hurt them tremendously in the Bears game. I like Baltimore. I think they're going to be in the mix when it comes to the AFC playoff picture. What I'm not sold about Baltimore is the level of play of their defense. I think there are ways to attack that secondary that teams have found success against over the first couple of weeks. And if there's anything that plays into the hands of the Cowboys, it could be to get that passing game going.
Look, the Cowboys got to get their act together on the offensive line. If they didn't figure out a way to fix that during this bye week, they are going to lose to Baltimore. And quite frankly, I just came within a couple of deletes to changing my pick to the Ravens. But I will stick and go with my first instinct, though. Honestly, it would not surprise me at all if the Ravens win that game.
Oh, it's going to be a close game.
To me, it's a total toss-up. So I think it could be a field goal game either way in the fourth quarter.
I agree.
Division game number two, Eagles and Lions. Eagles at home. Eagles are coming off a performance against the Steelers last week where they played them tight, came up short, but they are at home. The Lions have been a huge disappointment this year. I love Philadelphia in this game. I think Michael Vick and DeSean Jackson finally have their breakout game where both players just put a monster days.
Lions secondary has been dismal throughout the course of this season, so this is definitely a game that I think Michael Vick and company can air it out.
And that's why I have Mr. Vick and Mr. DeSean Jackson in our fantasy matchup on Giants.
I have DeSean Jackson. I didn't go the route of Michael Vick. You know, he's always good for a turnover or two, so
that's okay.
That may lose you 2 points and allow me to move in front of you. Anyway,
okay.
Continue.
Well, you didn't need more than 2 points.
Well,
to do
listen, I'm making strides. If you notice this
past
week,
you actually moved ahead of Melroy, who's now in dead
Hey,
last.
You got to move past somebody.
You guys are just
you can
pathetic.
Only go up, not down.
Pathetic. All right, other division game, Redskins and Vikings. Redskins at home against Minnesota. Minnesota's been a bit of a surprise team this year. Christian Ponder's gotten better. Their defense has been solid. Adrian Peterson slowly making his way back. All that being said, give me the Redskins at home.
Oh, you like the Redskins in this game?
Give me Washington.
Wow. See, I'm going to go the opposite way. I like the Vikings in this contest. Now, RG3 is expected to play. He's been going through practice. But
he already passed all the concussion tests.
But a player coming off a concussion, it's a rookie. It's going to be his first experience coming off an injury like this. Is he a little timid? Is he not going to take his fair share of chances running out of the pocket? You have to at least wonder. And I like the way the Vikings are playing on both sides of the football, as you just laid out. And Washington's defense has not been very good. Also, new development with the Redskins. They got rid of Billy Cundiff this week. So they got a new rookie kicker in the mix, former UCLA standout.
That's a good point.
How do they handle those situations? I like the Vikings on a close one.
Here's a question for you, somewhat unrelated. Option, starting quarterback, Fantasy Football League.
I'm so honored that you're coming to me. It's nothing. Since I'm high in the standings anyway.
Do you go Robert Griffin III or do you go Matt Schaub against the Packers?
I go Matt Schaub, easy.
Think that's
the way that
one?
Packers defense has been playing, I go Matt Schaub.
But don't you think they're going to run the ball over them and not necessarily go to the air much?
The teams have had a lot of success through the air. You can't go by trends. I think you got to look at the overall defense. And keep this in mind. Green Bay is a team, and I think the Redskins-Vikings game is going to be close too. But I think they're going to go back and forth. Because remember, the Texans lost Brian Cushing. This will be their first game for four quarters to see how they handle that loss. Green Bay is going to have success moving the football, and the Packers like to get into shootouts. So that means that Matt Schaub is not going to have to necessarily just solely rely on the running game even come the fourth
right
quarter.
Right now I have Schaub in the starting lineup, but that is still being taken under advisement. Anyway, wild card games, we just talked about it. I like the Texans over the Packers. Green Bay has taken an obvious step back to me this year. The Texans have not. Their defense is solid. Their defense is great. Their offense is solid. They like to run it. Schaub's back. He's played well. I think Andre Johnson might finally break out this week a little bit against that Packers defense. I like the Texans beating Green Bay.
I didn't pick this game, but the worst thing that happened for Green Bay, just as a side note, is losing Cedric Benson. This was the first season that you thought maybe they were going to get near a balance between the pass and the run.
Alex Green, I guess, is going to get the start, right?
James Starks could very well be in the mix, too.
Maybe
Brandon
Cool will take the goal line carry, so.
It's a mess right now, the backfield. But that's just from a fantasy perspective. I'm talking a reality perspective here. It's a disappointment for the Packers because Benson was their workhorse, and he was showing some progress in a very limited time to digest that playbook.
All right, what's your wild card game?
The wild card game that I chose, Miami over St. Louis. You always have to remind
me. Correct.
Is that the upset special that I chose?
That's the wild card
game.
St. Louis, correct.
St. Louis is coming off a nice performance.
You picked against the Rams three or four times this year, right?
I'm not sold on the Rams. And they did lose Danny Amendola, who's a key player on special teams, not just on offense.
Better make sure a man with a nice mustache isn't following you around the streets at night. He might be able to be a little upset at you.
Yes.
That'd be Jeff Fisher.
That would be Jeff Fisher. Yes. Tremendous
tough
insight
guy.
On that. Yes, he is a very tough
guy. Actually, he would probably.
I'm fearing Jeff Fisher walking on the streets of New York City, even though he's in St. Louis.
Jeff Fisher.
I can't tell you what a great comparison that was.
Jeff Fisher would probably send Cortland Finnegan after you anyway.
Well,
Tough guy, troublemaker.
And that's a nice segue to the topic that I was just going to
touch on.
Okay, go ahead.
I interrupted you.
Well, I'm not sold on this Rams defense, but what I do like is I like the secondary with Jenkins and Cortland Finnegan. But that's why I've sort of picked against the Rams each and every week because I don't know which Rams defense is going to show up. And if there's any team that's on a high right now, it's the Dolphins. Their defense has been playing well. As long as Ryan Tannehill protects the football, they've been in pretty much every game. So at the end of the day, I think I like the way Miami has progressed on offense. They've been turning to Hartline recently. Bess, Anthony Fasano. I think this is a game at home that the Dolphins could squeak out. It may not be pretty, but at the end of the day, I think the Dolphins win this game.
Fair enough. All right, and then finally, our upset specials. Lance, where'd you go?
Where did I go? Why don't you remind me? I'm telling you, everything's a blur. We make these picks hours before the show starts.
Try a minute before the show starts, you liar.
And then we get so into the Niners and the Giants. Do you think I'm focusing on whether or not I'm picking the Rams or the Dolphins?
Yeah, you forget your pitch. You're trying to figure out how to get me in trouble with handling.
All right. What do you got? What did I pick?
Both of us picked the Colts to beat the Jets.
That's right. Well, the Jets' defense is in disarray, and it's not just because Revis is lost.
I'm worried about this game only because the Colts might have a huge letdown.
I could buy that, too. I think that's a fair argument. And the Colts did lose their starting running back, but I think Ballard's going to be a suitable replacement. Andrew Luck's been moving in the right direction.
Andrew
every
Luck's
week,
a
though.
Good dude. That guy's going to be a heck of a quarterback, man. Whoo, he's good.
And that's why you have to have some confidence in the Colts. It's not as if he's the rookie quarterback that has a tremendous game, then throws three picks, and then comes back with four touchdowns. He's been pretty much even keel. So I like the Colts coming in on the road and squeaking out a victory over the Jets. The Jets' defense, you can move the ball on them. This is not the days where the Jets' defense can keep in a game even though their offense has not been productive. So I still like Indy's chances, regardless of them coming off a really big emotional win over the Packers.
I agree. There we go. We both like the Colts over the Jets. So
and then the Monday night game we've also picked. See, that I do remember.
We'll talk about that on Monday. How
Fair enough.
That?
We'll give a little tease now, something to look forward to.
And we already know your key to the game, Giants need to force a turnover, right?
I was going to lay it out, but you already beat me to it.
And I agree with you on that. Boy, this is interesting. Lance, we appreciate
so
it.
So much agreement
and,
today.
I know, it stinks.
Too, I know.
And you'll be on the air at 4 o'clock on Sunday with yes, the Game Field game feed, 4:25 kickoff. Make
Correct.
Sure you check out Lance, do the pregame show and the postgame. You can call in after the game. And
before the game, too.
Either be happy, be angry, whatever happens. You can, you know, have a good time with Mr. Meadow during that interactive game feed on Giants.com. So make sure you check that out.
And real quickly, how chippy are we expecting you Monday morning? Cross-country flight. It will be a late finish on our time. Give the audience a little bit of a feel of what we can expect.
We should be landing, by my calculations, around 3 a.m. Give
Perfect.
Or take.
Great.
I think that's
so
about right.
We're looking at, what, maybe 3-4 hours of sleep?
It looked about four, I'd say.
Four?
About
okay,
four
good.
Hours of sleep. And
good.
I haven't gotten a lot of sleep the last two nights.
Perfect.
Because
this is
because
great.
I've been at Yankee Stadium.
Excellent.
2 6-hour flights. I'll try to sleep a
it's
little bit
be
there.
Phenomenal.
I mean, it's I could be extremely chippy on the phone.
Which I look forward to tremendously. But I got to give you a lot of credit.
I'm going to be a little angry.
Unlike
actually.
Last week, you're not taking the easy way out and moving the show back to a 10 a.m. start.
That was a dentist appointment.
No. See, there's no excuses here.
Which, by the way, 100%.
And we are so excited. The audience is tremendous. We're expecting the dental report in about a week. We'll put it on Giants.com.
The x-rays? You want to
put
the x-rays
up there? We'll definitely take a look at it. Everybody can monitor your, mouth and what's going on in there.
Dental
and,
health?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, there you go.
Tell you. That subject matter is highly interesting.
So why don't you get off of it then?
I am going to get off of it, but I just wanted to commend you that we are sticking to a 9:30 start Monday morning.
You
and
done?
We'll leave it at that.
Are you done?
I think I've said all I
need. Are you done?
I am done.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
For Lance Meadow, I'm John Schmelk. See you over the weekend. Enjoy the game, everybody, right here on Giants.com.